103.9 FM. It's now time for us to talk. Folks, stay with us. Now, I told you earlier that we're going to the British Council pretty soon. In the studio to help the discussion is Paul Akofi. Hello, Paul. Good morning.
Good morning.
And many thanks for joining us. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me as well.
Mm-mm. All right. So what's happening tomorrow at the British Council?
Well, tomorrow is a celebration of arts. We're opening up our space. We're curating a series of events for creatives to come together to celebrate their craft, to discuss, you know, the creative economy in Ghana, to discuss what the challenges are, what the opportunities are, to also showcase, you know, British Council sort of programs and interventions and how we've been supporting the creative economy for as long as we've been in Ghana. Incidentally, this year will be our 80th year in Ghana. And so,
80?
Yes, wow. And so we've been around for some time and we've been, you know, supporting the creative economy in diverse ways. Yeah.
Mm. I think Robert told me about the first one. I think it happened in Kumasi a few weeks ago.
Yes, so actually that was the second one. The first one happened in Tamale.
Okay.
Yes, and Tamale was let's just say it just went beyond our expectations.
Oh wow!
Right, the turnout, the conversations, you know, the dialogue, the just all of that came together. You know, the exhibits that were shown, it kind of opened our eyes to the potential and the impact of programs like this. This is our second year running Ghana Season of Arts. The first year we just did it in Accra, and then we did a little sort of test in Kumasi. But this was the first year we had gone to Tamale, and we were pretty excited to see the turnout from students and creatives and their involvement in all of that.
They hurt me so badly, I couldn't be part of the speakers.
Yeah, you missed.
When they went to Kumasi, there was an emergency. That was something else. I'm not going to miss tomorrow's event. You mentioned dialogue. So what exactly are we discussing tomorrow?
So
for our dear participants.
Yeah, so I mean it's quite broad, right? There's we're creating just different conversations where we're resourcing that from the participants who are coming. We're touching on the creative economy. We're talking about, you know, how creatives are able to empower themselves, how they're able to take their craft international, how they're able to build revenue models out of their craft, you know. All of that. So all of that is encompassed in various themes that you know, that the host, you know, would go over and discuss and share with the audience. Yeah.
Are we paying to get in?
No, it's free.
It's free?
Yeah.
What time?
So we're opening up our doors from, I believe, from 8:30.
A.M.?
Yeah, I mean, exhibits will be set up and all of that. We encourage people to just come through the space, but I think, let's say things will be pretty warmed up around from 11, going, and then people can just come through the space and spend time.
When does it end?
Yeah. We will close approximately around 7:30.
P.M.
Yeah, 7:30 p.m. Yeah. So we invite, you know, the audience.
You mentioned creatives. Is it only for the creative industry?
So yes, I mean the creative industry is quite broad, right?
Mm.
Sometimes when people think about the creative industry, they think of like the artist with the
music, the, yeah, dance, that's it.
Right. The music or the fashion or, you know, those various verticals. But then, you know, you find creatives even in organizations, right? Joy FM has creatives over here that, you know, Hits FM has creatives, you know, that you work with, and all of that. And so we're looking at the broad spectrum of creatives and the work that they do and how the advertising agencies have creatives, even sometimes some financial institutions even have creatives working with their teams, you know, to craft their messaging and all of that. And so we are looking at that broad spectrum of creatives across the value chain, and we're inviting them to come into this space and to dialogue with us to see what sort of opportunities there are for expanding their craft, for going further in their work, essentially, and to see what the British Council does to support the creative economy in its full spectrum.
Mm. For our dear listeners who may not know where British Council is, where can they find them?
So British Council, it's interesting. So British Council, it's so you know the City House, right?
Mm-hmm. City House.
Yes. So you're
looking at.
Yes. Right. So the City House, it's on the Liberia Road, you know, around the National Theatre. It's not a place that you miss. Yeah, it's not a place that you miss. It's right beside the World Trade Center as well. And then we share a wall with the Africa Free Trade secretariat.
Right.
So, yeah.
Now, with this program, how well has it impacted the creatives? Do we have people who share testimonies or who share their experiences?
Yes. So, like, this isn't the... So, for the season of arts, like I said, this is the second year that we've run it. The first year when we did that, we saw just the opportunities that came through for the creatives that we're able to identify. So, last year, we went to Canex in Egypt. And part
oh,
of the
Canex, okay.
Yeah, we went to Canex in Egypt. And some of the creatives that we identified, we took them to Egypt. And that's what we're doing. The whole idea for this is really to open up our space to be able to see what up-and-coming creatives are doing, to see what their challenges are, and to also helps us fine-tune our interventions to support these creatives. And so it really is our way to touch point with the creative economy in general, like I'm saying, and allows us, you know, to continue providing these supports and these interventions as we develop them, as we think about them. And also because, you know, the creative space is a very dynamic space, right? There's so many changes that happen over time. I mean, right now, technology has always been a part of it, but it's been accelerated with conversations of AI and all of these things, right? AI, XR, VR, all of that. And so it really is an opportunity for us to see what people are doing in these spaces and how we can also craft our interventions to provide support, you know, and also to connect creatives between Ghana and the UK, which is something we're passionate about as well.
Is there a number or email in case anyone is listening and may have any other inquiries?
Yes, so I mean, you can send an email to, I think I'll pass that on. There's a number of ones I was just going to say, but I think there's a specific one for Season of Arts,
right.
And so I will leave that, and then you can share that with your audiences.
Okay.
There's a general sort of inquiry email that obviously if you reach out to the British Council through that, you can reach any of the arts departments. But we also have a registration link for the Season of Arts that we put out as well. And so that's on social media handles and all of that. Yeah.
On social media handles, do you have specific handles that we can...
Yes, visit? Yeah. So it's British Council GH.
Okay.
Yeah, on Instagram and Twitter as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, Paul. Thank you very much for coming. Paul is an arts consultant. I'll come see you later on for... Backdoor talk.
For backdoor talk, okay. I do.
Do you have any idea who the speakers are?
So yes, let me pull that up. We have Kel Songs.
Oh. Will he be performing as well?
Yes, I think he might be doing a few things. We have Sharon Dede Paddy, who will also be speaking. She's a CEO of the Padiki Art Gallery. We have Ajete Anan coming through as well. I mean, Ajete Anan needs no introduction. And then we'll also have a workshop session, right, by a corporate wellness consultant, Amma Amwako, and her team. We will have Prince Kojo Hilton as well, who's an art director and has done a lot in terms of stagecraft and all of that. So yeah, so these are a few of the speakers we'll have at the event. Yeah.
Right, many thanks. So tomorrow we'll be at the British Council from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Yeah.
We'll come and witness such a great event. The Season of the Arts.
Yeah, Season of Arts.
Season of Arts. Yeah.
There's one more, you know, sort of key thing I want to add. There's a program that we're also putting out, a training program called the So Creative E-Learning Program. This is a program that we are running across sub-Saharan Africa, and we've run it to different countries, Nigeria, South Africa, you know, Senegal, you know, just across Zambia, Zimbabwe, Kenya, and we've also started it in Ghana. We're happy to say that Ghana is actually the second sort of, in terms of numbers, so people on the platform taking the courses, Ghana comes up to Nigeria, you know, and Ghana is, you know, and so we're pretty excited about that. And this really teaches about the creative economy. It opens up creatives to understanding how it is to turn your craft into financially viable, you know, opportunities. So we are talking about introduction to the creative economy. We're talking about growing your craft in the creative economy. We're talking about social enterprise as a creative. And then we're also looking at policy courses as well. So these courses essentially have been curated to support creatives. And it doesn't matter whether what vertical you're in, right? It could be in fashion, music, film, whatever it is. It really helps you to think of yourself as a business entity, right? And how to put the structures around, and to also to look at your value chain, right? And how, what the different touch points, what the opportunities there are in those, in your value chain, really, and to be sustainable, you know, to do that. So we'll be introducing it as well, and we're pretty excited about what that means.
Paul, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, Paul Akrofi is with the British Council Sub-Saharan Region. Let's meet tomorrow at the British Council, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. And let's have a life-changing experience. Folks, stay with us here on It's 103.9 FM. Riccio. Here is music from Riccio featuring Kofi Kenata, Chale. But in this year, well, we've had great songs. We've done just 4 months in the year. And great songs coming out, day in, day out. Riccio. Nice. Folks, keep it tuned in here on It's 103.9 FM. Jerome, great. I remember meeting him when he first came to perform at the VGMAs. I think we even went to the beach later on. Jerome is back in Ghana to oversee the project. Throw more light on it. We'll be speaking to Mr. Freeman of Pencils of Promise NGO. They're working with rapper Jerome on his visit to Ghana. You know, Instagram on Monday to announce his imminent arrival in Ghana, expressing his enthusiasm for commencing the philanthropic initiative. In an Instagram post, Jaru shared his intention to initiate the construction of classroom blocks in Nwaso, situated in the eastern region of Ghana, building towards the future. Ghana, see you tomorrow. He wrote, underscoring his dedication to improving educational opportunities for Ghanaian children. Just a week prior, Jarula had expressed his excitement about breaking ground for the school project, emphasizing the partnership with Pencils of Promise, an NGO committed to enhancing access to quality education globally. Happy and excited to finally get to break ground on my school in Ghana next week. Pencils of Promise for the win. Ghana, we're going up next week, he wrote on X. Jaru's initiative to build a school in Ghana follows the philanthropic footsteps of fellow celebrity Michael Blackson, who commissioned the Free for All Basic School in Agunan Saban, located in the central region. Now let's speak with Mr. Freeman. Mr. Freeman of Pencils of Promise NGO. Mr. Freeman, good morning and many thanks for joining us on Hits FM. How are you?
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Congratulations on your philanthropic business. This is amazing.
Thank you very much. Very much appreciated.
Right. So I understand you're on your way to Nwaso.
Yes, we are currently on our way to Nwaso in the Odumasi Krobo municipality. Where Jaru will be breaking ground on a 6-unit classroom block with other amenities for the Anglican school there.
Great, but what called for this school at Nwaso?
Let's come again.
What called for this school, for the building of this project at Nwaso?
Yes, so Pencils of Promise, we've been working in the Eastern Region area, Volta and OT, for the past 12 years. And so we go around scouting for schools, like public schools that need attention. So this particular school got broken down in 2020. Since then, it's not been replaced. So that was brought to our attention. So the kids there have been running shifts. So the whole primary block, three people come to school in the morning using the library and a computer center, another block. And then another batch comes to school in the afternoon. So that is why we are intervening with the support of Jaru.
This is amazing. So now, as we speak, where's Ja Rule?
We are in a van together. We're heading towards Nwaso.
Great. May I speak with him?
It's just a bit far away from me.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
It's a bit far away from where I am, so I will not be able to speak to him now.
Okay, great. Can you let us know whatever happens when you arrive?
We'll do. Yes, we'll give you updates.
Right. Thank you very much for talking to us, Mr. Freeman. We're so grateful.
Thank you. Welcome.
Yes, and have a wonderful day. Listeners, stay with us here on It's 103.9 FM. And that's it. Folks, Ja Rule is in Ghana and on his way to commission the project. It's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. Murdering
Ja Rule.
R-U-L-E. Oh, nice. Okay, folks, stay with us. You're on 103.9 FM.
It must be the ass. Woo! You got me like that. If it get any fatter, man, the rule gon' have to get at her. And our situation won't matter. I come to make you smile in the freakiest manners. J to the L-O, hello. No, I'm not the hall, the yard's wall. I'm the rule and a shot call off the wall like MJ in his early days. It's the Ink and Lopez now.
Ain't that funny? It's been a while since you came around. Now you wanna see what's going down. Trying to tell me how you want my time. Trying to tell me how I'm on your mind. See, you never had to be this way. You should've never played the games you played. Now I'm seeing that you're kinda lame. Knowing how the situation changed. Funny, baby, that you want me. When you had me, love is crazy. Now I can smile and say, ain't that funny? Funny, baby, that you want me. When you had me, love is crazy. I'm glad I can smile and say, ain't that funny?
I remember how you walked away, even when I tried to call your name. See, at first I didn't understand. Now you're looking like a lonely man. I remember how you did me wrong. Now you're hurting cause my love is gone. Everybody gets a chance to burn. You can take it as a lesson learned.
Funny, baby, that you want me. When you had me, love is crazy. Now I can smile and say, ain't that funny? Funny, baby, that you want me.
The roast died. Oh, I never been a sucker for cho-cha. Spit the ism, hit him, get rid of him, man. You know, Ty, get it gully. And ain't that funny how they want me see me working with money.
But hey.
Is that your girlfriend? Maybe we can be friends.
Okay, folks. That's it. We're live on Hits 103.9 FM. But congratulations. All right. Yep. Okay. *281#. *281#. *281#. Click on option 5. Click on option 5 and thank me later. *281#. *281#. That's it. Okie dokie. Someone is winning some good money this morning. All right, so that's it with Ja Rule. Now, in the news, Funny Face, my brother Benson Nanayao Kudro, aka Funny Face. Funny Face has been granted bail. And yesterday, I watched an interview he did with Kofi Adoma Mwangweni. And when I listened to my brother speak, and he shed tears in there, I teared up as well, because it's not funny any longer. And for somebody like Funny Face, who in the interview admitted his mistakes and mentioned that he's ready to bounce back, he even made a passionate appeal to corporate Ghana to consider him again, and that he's got the numbers. Yes, nipa na efun. But I know Onyami be diama, Funny Face, Onyami be diama, you are in our prayers. Adam, good morning.
Good morning, Chairman.
How are we?
Fine, by the grace and the experience.
Right. Yesterday someone said, Charlie, but Adam guy be very cool, but be very controversial. Like, you know, it's, Adam, that guy, he gonna be very cool, but...
I'll be cool guy.
Yeah. You know, like, Mr. Lodge, you go start nicely, very cool, you know, that's quietly.
Harry's friend.
Then he starts the throat. Here we go. Why are you like that?
Oh, I'll be calm guy.
No, why are you like that? When did Mr. Logic tell you he's Henry's friend? Who's Henry anyway?
Oh.
Which of the Henrys?
The Henry.
The doctor?
The Henry.
The doctor?
Yeah.
The doctor.
Medical team member.
You don't worry, yo. You don't worry, pass. Hey.
I'm busy.
You know, be easy, eh? Listeners, let's start talking. Join us. We are live on Facebook. Yeah, we are live on Facebook. Join us and let's talk. Okay? We are live on Facebook. And send in your comments on X as well. I'm reading your tweets. Funny Face granted 120,000 CD bail by a district court in Kaswa. This comes after he was remanded for injuring 5 people in an accident at Kakraba in Kaswa. Joy News' legal affairs correspondent Richard Kojonyako reported that the case, which was heard on Tuesday, April 9, saw the prosecution give an update on the health of the victims. According to the prosecution, 4 of the victims have been discharged from the hospital. However, one victim who was said to be in critical condition at the time of the accident is now recuperating. Meanwhile, Funny Face will be released from custody after he meets the bail conditions pending further legal proceedings. On the evening of Sunday, 24 March, Funny Face was involved in an accident in Kakraba, Kaswa, in the central region. He hit 5 people, including a mother with 2 children, with his car. One of the victims at the time fell into a coma while the others were receiving treatment at the Winneba Trauma Center. Listeners, listen to Funny Face, and please, your comments. I will appreciate it if, anyway, I have the right not to read or even to delete some of the comments if they are derogatory. Let's listen to Funny Face.
I was for Enchekra and Funny Face. Nyamiadom Onya Bill. Na Waba Mpwano Aba Abba Bigari. me drew Hano, O share the way most of my baby Pono, Nafi, went to me, Akotwa, Abraboso. But the way I know Bunko to be, and the way I know I serious on Ponano, I mean, we and I say, hey, I said, this coming back with you, a different level. Funny, you're more chinkwa.
Me three days, Madame Munas was, and I'm a Ghana forcing in us. And yet, Ubian would see me call near Mamma Komu, all the stages. Ubi on him, story, all the stages of Samba back. It's a Mitima Konin in a million and me from Mava Baka. Me Dagana Fasi, me Dami, me three sudas.
Funny, man, personally, every baby, I ask myself, funny, why? Because I remember they had done this better studio. Then the guy those days, Fan World, now which Jim Kray any
2001, 2002, Fan World.
And then 2006, something yourself you are building. How do you feel personally?
Oh, personally, like now I feel down. But I feel all is not lost due to your advices, because you spoke to me when I was in cell or Kaswa. Some of the things you said, they took me home for it. I shed my own crying. In life, you can never be too careful. I just say nyame, and they shiny pants. In a JBI, I was a mechanic, say nyame, a man who quire a sida. The supremacy of God, the jinyame symbol, that is the meaning. See, a brabana airborne. But now I feel like a new person who is taking life seriously now. I say, I think to God be the glory, this year I'll be 43 years. 42 years of my life. Minka said, they are grow because they are serving their age up at the baby. But my son is a baby. I say, I'm now for far. I've offended so many people. I've caused problem for myself. Make I say ni ami komu ni na ami fan show biya. Ni ama wo we as bibi wo we as say, but me so I'm the major factor of my problem. I'm the major cause of my problem. But ni na ano, I take full responsibility of my actions and inactions. The maye ni na mejitum. Me and my mama are in Ghana for one fan chair. Meaning, say, I've put up your button, your bro. I'm back. I'm going to break your because I'm going to be a damn bomb for old day chair. We'll see any day. But say, I'm a foul down one. I'll bet you see. We are the same doors. Tina, you frail, no, Tama, you know. In fact, the truth is that you are the one, Obe Mukra, one of the sureties, our grantees, Obe Jina, say, from an opa. Funny, I have to come to him just as I am and be real with him and beg him for his forgiveness and a second chance. Jehovah is the only person who can tell Ghanaians to love Funny Face again. Jehovah is the only person who can tell Ghanaians to give Funny Face a chance. When Jehovah touches the heart of Ghanaians, their hearts will be touched. So I felt I should come and then, you know, do this and then give God the glory. One, the supremacy that He is God. I've heard, I'm a human, I've messed my life up, and I need a second chance. And it's like, once you know, that's the level I've gotten to. But nobody will understand what you are going through. Even when explain to Nipano on Tiasi. And I just said, I have to come to God and explain myself to Him for Him to give me that favor that He granted me years ago. That He granted me the love of children, the favor that He has given me. Ah, Kwala Besine. It's been a while I've been on TV. Recently, I came back with a Usher past TV series on TV3. But proud to that, you know, I collab with you soon, 1 year, 2 years, baby cry. But I collab with the uncle, Bianchi, but I'm going to come to Noba. Nayan Mamma, I will be Angwa. That favor that he gave me, that is what I came to pray for again.
Okay, all right, okay, all right. Listeners, so that's it with Funny Face in an interview with Kofi Aduma Mwangweni yesterday, soon after he was granted bail. I've already welcomed Edem. Ria, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
With your lovely self.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine.
Turn my chair this way.
Kwame Dazi.
Did you come and become a pandit or look at my face?
Yeah, oh, the way you like you face pen wash.
I'm a face dit.
Face asm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kwame.
Ande.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you very much, mm-hmm. Grandpapa.
What? Grandpapa?
I said Grand Andy.
Makembi ama o don ho
bade. No, he said grandpapa. I didn't say that. Yeah. I called you darling.
You're Martin. Martin. Kwame.
Andy Dusty.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We heard Funny Face. And, Adam, let me start with you.
Yeah. It's really sad that our brother has found himself in this situation. It's not a beautiful thing to be where Funny Face is. Because to be able to build such a brand that everybody wants to work with you, I mean, from corporate Ghana to individuals, among others, and known as children president. You have your own events. I interviewed him some time ago, and he told me he wanted to even build a Disney sort of playground for children. So you have such a dream, and the dream was on course. You secure and land everything. Then, all of a sudden, relationships come in, and you are not able to hold things up. You throw everything out like that. I mean, it's not that issue. Because if you listen to his story, he has really wanted to be at that height he got with the struggles he went through. And those opportunities come. And like he said, he admits he's the major cause of his problem.
Mm.
Those things come, and he himself ran the whole thing down to ground zero. It's a sad story. But I take consolation in the fact that he has realized some of these problems. In what we call image restoration in PR, there are ways to, come out of crisis. And image restoration is one. It has about 5 steps to follow. You can pick any or 2 of them. And if I look at the image restoration theory, I see one, a corrective action, as one of the mechanisms in his interview with Kofi Aduma, where he's trying to say that, corporate Ghana, give me a second chance.
Mm.
This will not happen. He has seen what he's done, and he's putting in place some corrective mechanisms to ensure that that will not happen. Because it's like, unse, you see, it's me, bo, when it's now, when it's one, how? And I say, this has, at a certain time, be a one in this one. And he wants a second chance. I also see mortification in this. In mortification, you admit, especially when you see that the blamability is high, responsibility rate is very high. I mean, the best way is to admit, and he's admitted, that indeed, he's the cause of everything. Even though there are other spiritualities in life, he sees himself as the main orchestra of all of these predicaments. And as a result of that, he's disrupted friendship. He has destroyed networks he built, and he should be forgiven. And as human as we are, I want to urge, everyone, if you listen to the interview, he really knows that Ghanaians are not happy with him.
Mm.
And he says that, please, I'm sorry. I'll be 42 or so. I see that I have, played with some aspect of my years. And I want to do things differently now. We all need a second chance in life. Yes, some are saying they are tired of him, but we all need that. as human as we are, at times certain things may come and we may not be able to control, and it will get us here. And that is why he's saying we should give him a second chance. And I love the fact that he sees the need to mobilize monies to take care of those who are in some condition. Even though four have been discharged, they will still need medication, and those who are still there. And I saw some of his relatives there. I want them to get closer to him more than before, because there's a time he needs them. Because right now, like he's saying, most of the relationship he built are no more, so he will need them more to help him come back. And I know he will overcome. He has the talent.
Right.
A second chance is needed.
Ria?
From what I get from this is that, what I get from this whole scenario is the fact that most Ghanaians or most people think that mental health or treating mental health situations is just a one-time thing. Okay, he had an episode, he went to the hospital, they gave him drugs, that's all. I mean, I think he's still in the process of healing and should be allowed to heal. Apart from that, I'm a Christian, okay? And God is not a God of just second chances, many chances. We all err, and we go to him for forgiveness, and we pray and hope that we are forgiven. So with the asking of forgiveness, I think Ghanaians should also forgive him and, hold him as a brother again, because at this point he looks broken. He looks like a broken man. He looks like he's hanging on a thin thread. So I just think that at this point we have to hold him, or we need to encourage him as a brother, because we could also say that we've seen all this before. I mean, after his first episode, he came back, he came to apologize, among other things. But Charlie, it was disheartening when I saw him. I saw the video of him entering the sea, kneeling down, you could see that he doesn't look like he has any hope anywhere. But then when there's life, there's still hope. So I'm just going to take this opportunity to say to Funny Face, Charlie, God day. For me, apology accepted. I mean, I don't want to speak for all Ghanaians, but to me, apology accepted. And we pray and hope that whatever it is, you'll be able to get out of it. And luckily for him, the victims of the accident are now doing better. They are recuperating. They are better than how they were. Even apparently the one in the most critical condition is now responding to treatment. So we thank God for that, and we pray and hope that, Charlie, things will get back to normal.
Kwame?
I don't think Funny Face owes me any apology. He owes the people that he's offended directly apology. He owes the family of the people that he knocked down with a car apology. I don't know how he's offended me in any way. Just as Ria said, we've seen Funny Face go in and out of the situation. And anytime he comes out, he comes to apologize one way or the other. I am beginning to believe that if Funny Face has gone through psychological treatment or psychiatric treatment and all that, and he's still facing these challenges, then we might also want to tap into the spiritual side of this. I have that belief that as human beings, no matter what we do, we cannot be severed from spirituality. I don't know how strong he is in that angle. I don't know the spiritual
you of all people
standing. Anidosti, I'm saying this with all seriousness. You see, sometimes we look at things on the face value. We may think that, okay, this is just it. Maybe it's because of his issue with the baby mama. Yes, maybe, yes. Sometimes we should also dig deeper and see, does he have any spiritual ties with anybody anywhere? You know, I think that if the family is listening, they might as well think about maybe taking him to any strong man of God who actually understands how these things work. Because for me, where I'm sitting right now, I'm beginning to believe this goes beyond just the physical. It goes beyond just Funny Face himself allowing things to happen to him. I'm not sure anybody would love to be in this situation over and over again. You see, and he's been to the psychiatry a number of times. Dr. Fahir and Niyadi. So why isn't he being freed from the shackles of this situation? It could mean that...
Mm-hmm. He's been to the psychiatric hospital, yeah. But it is not a one. I don't know his diagnosis. I don't know whether he's bipolar, schizophrenic, or whatever it is.
Okay.
But even with those I have mentioned, it takes years. Okay.
No, some I'm not discounting
on medication. I'm not discounting for a very long.
I'm also bringing
time
in
or the rest of their life.
I'm also bringing in another variable. It's possible. It could be.
Yes.
That is what I'm saying. So sometimes when you are solving the situation, you need to look at it holistically from other angles. You never know. I'm sure people who doubt the work of spirituality or people who perhaps would attribute this solely to science may doubt why I'm roping in spirituality. But we need to go deep down. A lot of people in this industry have things to do with their spiritual life. I don't want to go deeper into what... Yeah, you understand what I'm talking about. So you might as well go into that and see if they truly believe in spirituality, they might as well look at that angle, because me, how things are going, I understand. Psychologically, this might take time, but if it's possible for him to look at the spiritual side, he should do that as well.
Spiritual media.
Andy, new man, we ask you.
Andy, you want to talk something?
Bibi, we ask you. Andy Dusty,
you want to talk something?
Fine, Bibi, we ask you. But
Bibi, we ask you.
And see, okay, Kwame.
Andy Dusty,
in the spiritual, they are working. What?
No, we know the sea.
Eh?
We know the sea.
But Andy, can I ask you a question? But haven't you felt, not necessarily been told, but haven't you felt that you are being like spiritually monitored or spiritually, you know, something before?
Me?
Yes.
Me?
Yes.
Spiritually monitored?
Yes.
Ajagraja.
Some things are not knocking things. And you...
I am the only person that went to a drawer, but the thing didn't work.
Allah!
I've said this... I've said this on radio Okay. Thieves broke into my house. There was some burglary. Took my television. While I was at work, they were busily breaking into my house.
What afternoon?
Yeah, at that time I was hosting Music Box. I think it was Music Box or Easy Listening. One of them, Easy Listening. So I was while I was on radio, they were busily breaking. The next, I wasn't working. The next house, shall we see? I always said I don't want to live with people at the point. No. I want to live in my own house. So if you're going to rent, I want full house. There's 4 bedrooms, 5 bedrooms, then some. So it's just me in there and my family. At that time, my wife had traveled. And the next door, the person living in the next house, she said she heard the bang. She kept hearing it. And what she told her daughter was that, no, the daughter asked, hey, mommy, Brandon, they couldn't even go to check. And these guys kept breaking and breaking and breaking. Like, with all the confidence, they broke down, they entered, took whatever they wanted to take. So I came to work, and as I was sharing it, someone said, Kwame, was it not you? I think when I was coming to Kofodi, I called you.
Yes. I did the first story. Remember?
I called this guy. He showed me the way. On the chair, we're doing running field.
Hey! Not that one, though.
Brandon,
this one will be a good one.
Because when you're coming,
no. This is a different story. Please.
At least let Mr. Logic do it.
No. I need to. I was not paying attention.
You have the brother.
When I heard Kofoyudi, I said yes, please.
I went there.
Me no know she here for.
I went there. They gave me something to say. Instead of saying it in three in plain language, I went to speak English.
I don't understand English. How are they supposed to help you?
funny will be fine. It will be fine. And that if there are certain things he does which triggers some of these things, he should stop. Some hypers, whether liquid or not in liquid form.
Right.
If he takes some of these.
Stay on. Listeners, we are about to continue. Stay on. I'm about to read your comments.
Something we don't know.
Every day I be working. So every time I'm sweating. Then I may have my sister. Men find me chop money, mommy pasta. Now say me to me, don't pay me sissy. Me to me now, so I'm in happy. So we dey get money, or we dey find money. I just want to know. Then I'm forming no true Bugatti. Last time we time for the pool party. And I jump by me by the side. Bless me like my pastor. Even though I'm a gangster. Oh no. I quite hot as in the media. Oh yeah. But you leave me swimming in media.
Listeners, stay with us here on It's 103.9 FM. I've got a special surprise for you. In the studio, Freedom Jacob Caesar, now Nana Kwame Bediako, aspiring president. Nana, good morning.
Good morning.
And many thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm sorry for just taking over your studios and you walking in to. And budgeting. You know, I see, like, you know, maybe that's what we should do. Like, right now, you know, just walk into the country and then see what the country's problem is and just take over and resolve it and start helping and everything. So thank you for welcoming me, though. Thank you.
You're most welcome. First of all, what necessitated your candidacy?
I think that, you know, I had enough of me being a successful young boy that is standing alone, that I have to respond to a lot of people who didn't know how I came up, who were hating, some were loving, some were admiring. But I realized that the problem is not all these three things that I just mentioned. I realized that the problem is they didn't have, they couldn't get. And it was leading them to frustration. So people would have reacted or responded to that. But I realized that when people are vulnerable and they're in a state that they need help or they need a change in their life, he who that takes the decision to move forward and help them would become the hero, would become the legacy of those generation of people. And so I looked at that and it moved me from the business world, the corporate world, and went straight into the leadership world. You know, and it's not a big thing for me. You know, I came from poverty, and from poverty I had my experience on the streets. From the streets I had my experience in the corporate world, and then I went into the philanthropical world, you know, then went into the industrial world, which is still ongoing, and then in the leadership world. So it's something that I thought that I was prepared for to do so. You know, I had the courage, I have the wisdom, the knowledge, and, you know, what it takes to step up for the youth and people who have been sitting down for 40 years, 50 years without saying anything but complaining. you know, somebody had to do something, and that's what I did.
You were complaining as well.
I never complain.
Really?
No. I mean, I'm a strictly non-believer of excuses and complaints and all of this. I don't think it pays me. Okay? You either find a solution to the problem, shut up, or walk away from it. It's one of the three. That's what I do.
But was it going on well for you?
It's been going on very well for me, because if I was a complainant, I would still be complaining.
Why would you want to compete then?
Compete who?
As in get into politics and get the to become president and make things right. If things were right, I don't think you would want to get there.
Well, Andy, first of all, just point of correction, I don't compete. I don't believe in competition either. You see, all of these things are not my thing. People think I'm competing with people. No. I choose attention over competition. Because anyone that is competing, you find out in the end that is attention that they were looking for. However, I'm not seeking attention. I want people to pay me attention. There's difference in the two. The one who's begging for it is different. The one that gets it, because when they open their mouth or when they walk through the door, all eyes should turn. When they speak through the microphone, it should be headlines. It should be a debate amongst humanity. I think that's what I am, you know, and I'm not here to compete with anybody. You know, I don't think I'm even blaming our leaders for their mistakes. We're human beings, and none of us are perfect. All I'm saying is that I've learned from your mistakes, and I would be able to do it better because I've learned from your mistakes.
Do you have any political background?
No. Neither did I have an architectural background or construction background or builder's background. I didn't have any background. I just came to this world, you know, as a poor kid, and I realized that, okay, poverty is a bad thing. I managed to get myself out of it. And I realized that riches bring a lot of evil. I managed to sustain it, maintain it. And I realized that wealth makes people respect you, because you sort of share value to humanity. So I said, okay, this is good. I will stay here and create wealth. But after you create a mass amount of wealth, then you have the whole world coming against you, asking you questions. And, you know, they didn't have any questions for you when you started your journey. But now that you have arrived at your destination, everybody's asking you questions. So I said, okay, fine. I came with nothing. I'll leave with nothing. Why don't you guys concentrate on having what I have whilst I go into leadership? So I can have a great purpose for humanity, a great purpose for society, a great purpose for changing this world. And I think that's what I came here for. You know, being able to add value to these three things that I worship. You know, human beings are going to be here when I'm gone. You know, and nature would always be here when I'm gone. And the world will always be here when I'm gone. But what I'll be remembered by, it's the value that I added to these three things. And so that is just the basic principle for my decision of going into leadership. And it's not politics. I don't call it politics. I'm not a politician. So the politicians shouldn't think that they have a competition. You know, they should just pay attention to this young man. What I'm going to do is to help society, to help nations. And I don't mind whether I'm there with them or not there with them. But the things that I'm saying, you can see that people are starting to embark on it. People are even trying to claim it. Some people think that, yes, now industrialization, yes, now I'll create jobs. What happened 40 years ago if you couldn't create jobs for 33 million people? You've had 40 years, you couldn't. You know, so please, people should step aside. And if we have ideas and we have great mentality, we have great strategies, let us add it to whatever that exists, and we can correct the mistakes in the past and make a better future for tomorrow.
How old are you now?
I'm 44.
44?
Yeah.
It would be great to have a young president. Recently, Senegal had a 44-year-old president, right?
And Argentina and all of that. I think God is marking the people with 44 now. And, mm-hmm. You know, God used to mark the people with 33. Jesus Christ and Columbus and this. They were all 33, Bob Marley, 33. But now, in this modern golden age, I think the 40s is the new powerful moment where we're going back to the likes of Kwame Nkrumah, Martin Luther, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey,
and Nana Kwame Bedia,
Freedom Jacob Caesar. You know, yeah.
You just mentioned Freedom Jacob Caesar.
Yeah.
Why that name? I mean, Nana Kwame Bedia, fantastic.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Freedom Jacob Caesar.
Yeah.
And back to Nana Kwame Bediako.
Nana Kwame Bediako is my birth name.
Please get closer.
Nana Kwame Bediako is my birth name. Freedom Jacob Caesar is my government name. I created it. It's not just a national name. It's a global name. It's a continental brand. You know, freedom is what Africans have been lacking for the past 5 decades. They claim we have independence. Well, that independence is a contractual independence with our colonial masters. But you could see that we are still not relieved from our economic crisis. I came to give you that economic freedom. I am bringing that. You know, like I said in some of my speeches recently, that Ghana and the youth and the people of this country should trust me. I am your new IMF. I will make sure you don't go back to them to beg again. I will find you any means, by any means necessary, by hook or crook, to create wealth for you on this land, to create millionaires in within Africa, and make sure that we strengthen our own economy and stop waiting for people to give us aid. Make sure that we create our own shirts, our own suits in large quantities, in industrial quantities, and stop all of this waiting for people to come and do it for us. This is something that I don't understand, that why should we think like that? So we didn't have that freedom. I brought it. Jacob, on the other hand, I'm sure you guys know the story about Jacob. Jacob was a bad boy. You know, he had a lot of kids, but every one of them was coming from like some kind of woman, and he took care of all of them. You know, what Jacob says is that, you know, I am connecting the tribes back together, the Israelites. And if you see and you look at my brand, you look at what I do, you will see that I don't discriminate tribes. I believe in people, period. You see, so I don't have a nationality problem. And I think that's the problem we have as a country. Everybody is talking about their nationality, their tribe, and they have chosen nationality over mentality. Your mentality is important. You need to have mental training. You need to depend on that. You need to make sure out of your mentality has come with different events, with different production, with different development, different things that has come out of your mentality that nation will benefit from. So I wanted to sort of connect the tribes first in my country. And then when I finish, I'll start connecting the country. So people will really know that this Freedom Jacob Caesar, who is the Prince of Africa, did not tell his story, but he dictated it and made the people of Africa tell the story.
Mm.
That's the brand.
You speak very well.
Thank you.
Yeah, you do. I know you manage your businesses. You have a lot of businesses. Now, you intend managing the whole country,
mm-hmm.
like Ghana,
mm-hmm.
which you're supposed to know almost every problem of every individual, especially those who are calling for to vote for you. For instance, a lot of people have said they are not going to vote, because they feel like, it's just a waste of time. We sit on radio and we advise them, you need to exercise your franchise.
Yeah,
it's
lawful. No cheddar, no vote, Andy. That's all.
No cheddar, no.
Do you understand what I'm saying? We turn it around because, you know, the old politicians were like, I'll give you money to vote for me. And I am money. Cheddar means money. So the youth and everyone and myself, we're saying no cheddar, no vote. So this time the money is now in one human with a big vision that will benefit the nation. And I think it's a new era of political chronicles that is changing, and you can see it's happening in Senegal, in Burkina, in all of these places. And when you look at some of the countries like Cameroon, you know, how can you have a president that is sick in 80 something and lives in France, but he controls a whole country in Africa? You know, such things should be stopped. You know, the human is very important. To have 20, 30 million people in a country is a lot of people.
There's a question I've been yearning to ask you. And I kept telling my team that, once Nana Kwame Bediakun sits in front of me, that will be the first question I will ask. Unfortunately, I've defeated that purpose. However, it's never late. It's just as I was asking that you're about managing the whole country, mm-hmm. it involves governance, mm-hmm. politics. First of all, mm-hmm. what is governance?
Well, for me, governance is not just political responsibility. Governance is managing your world with rules, regulations that falls under judiciary systems, under legislation, under constitution, and then making sure that you are responsible and accountable for whatever resources that is put into your hands. That's governance. However, if you relate it to political governance, then you are responsible for the state resources you're responsible for human development, national development, and social development. Now, you are responsible for doing these things, but you're not supposed to say that you, the government, I am going to do business to do it. You're supposed to use the resources and the mindset with the team, the cabinet, the ministerial cabinets, the parliaments, the, all the laws around you. You're supposed to be able to use these things to drive what you have as a state resources to make it a basic beneficial factor for the average living person. You are supposed to make sure that there is fairness of equity. You have to make sure that there is fairness of equality. You have to make sure there is fairness of empowerment. These are the three things behind the new force. These are our core principles: equity, equality, and empowerment. And if a government thinks with these three things, we are going to have a competitive government just like the European government or Asian or American government. But I think there is a huge gap in the governance of African countries. So we seem to be depending on political, foreign political influence from people to decide, because we can't decide on our own. That's because our governance is not relative to their governance. Their governance has become successful. They have governed their people very well. They have created a passport that goes to 200 countries, free visa. They have created all welfare for people who are sick. Taxes money are going into national development and is supporting the country, the sick, the hospitals, everything. And then they have industrial support and they have reserves of minerals that they have extracted from other countries. So these are the things that you need as a country to protect yourself, to have the gadgets of industrializing your people. That's the way you can develop their mindsets. That's the way you can develop their strength, their courage, and uplift them, because they become an average person. They become a middle income living person, and people don't like to lose that opportunity. When I know that I can get $3,000 every month as a policeman, which is 30,000 or 40,000 Ghana, and it can pay for my house mortgage, it can pay for my cars, I can pay for my children's school fees, I can pay for, I don't want to lose that. If anybody comes in front of me and try to give me bribe, I will refuse it, because if the bribe stops me from getting this revenue, my whole life ends. But if you take all this value from me and strip me off, hey, even if you give me pure water for bribe, I would take it, because I think one of my children might need water. You see, so I think we Africans have taken value from our people. And it's one of the reasons why I came as the new force, as the new unifier for the youth and women of this country. Because if I'm able to give the value back to them, I am going to have the biggest army in the history of Africa's population. And Africa has the biggest young population, which I believe is also the biggest labor force yet to be tapped into. How do I take this very serious? Because I'm a businessman, I'm a visionary, and I can see that that is a lot of wealth once I'm able to tap into that.
Right, I see. Here you are on Hits FM. Hits is a youthful captive portal.
Hit me.
and so the focus is on show business mostly. I hardly hear you talk about show business. I think the last time you got into our space was the mention of purchasing a football club.
Yeah.
Right? How well do you know our industry? I know, okay, for a fact that some time ago you were involved. I think you were supporting some acts, some musicians.
I've always been involved. You know, I like show business. I'm with you. And you can see that most of my friends are from here. You know, I have friends who are footballers. I have friends who are musicians, from Davido to Wizkid to Stoneboy to Shatta. Everybody is my friend. Shatta Wale. Everybody. I don't discriminate. When you go to the boxing sector, I have Azuma Nelson. I have Floyd Mayweather. You go to the model world, I have Naomi Campbell. I have Kate Moss. All the top people in the fashion industry, music industry, football industry. And I build studios to help, you know, the kids to come up.
How do you establish relationships with all of these giants?
I would answer you that in a minute, but I just wanted to finish on your question.
Right.
That my investment in the entertainment sector, in the fashion sector, has been big. I've been supporting people from Maoli Okujato to Kofi Ansame, and may he rest in peace. You know, I've helped all of these people. When we had the studios, Wonderworld Studios, back in 2004, You know, we were preparing people like Payday and all of this. They were my friends before they came out. Wizkid was my friend then. You know, he was building up. He was just a studio boy. So these guys have massive respect for me, that how can I be doing business and still have time for their world and be able to sit down and talk with them and everything. However, I am not interested in being in their industry. Because, yes, I like them. I will advise them. I will help them. But I think my purpose is bigger than that. My purpose is not just to be a footballer or to be a football agent. My purpose is not to be a musician, a rapper, or some music producer. My purpose, all due respect, enough respect to those people, that's what they do. But I feel like I have much more bigger purpose than that. You know, I'm here as a humanitarian philanthropist, and I believe that the value that I can add to humanity is better for me than to extract from them. Than to take $10 and take gate fees for them to come and stand there and watch me or watch football or whatever it is. I want to add value to society, and that's what I've been focused on. You know, so even though I invested in those areas, when I realized that the numbers didn't relate to me that much, you know, I kind of left it, but I still connect with them. I'm still with them. So it's not like I'm not thinking about them. I just think that when I get in that, when I get to the industrial sector, industrial power, I'll be able to advise our industries of entertainment, fashion, and football, how to structure themselves. You know, put these machines, put these plants, and connect to these people so you can distribute the product like iTunes, like Spotify. You know, these are machines. These are robots. They're working, you know, but we don't have it. We are not interested in also getting it. So some white man has bought them. Maybe the machines are in India. They have somebody working 24 hours, but they're taking money from everyone in this world. And that is the sort of mentality and knowledge that I want to bring into the industry. So it's not like I've forgotten about it. It's only little I can do now based on the power I have. You know, I can build my own hotels. I can build my own museums and zoos, but I can't change the world. I need more. I need more power. I need more resources. I need more human resources to be able to effect this, to be able to make this work.
Okay. Now back to the question of your establishment, your relationship.
I've always had a relationship management skills from when I was a kid. I remember when I was in school, you know, my mom used to give me one CD, which is probably one peso today, to go to school. I used to walk 3 miles to school, 3 miles back. And 6 miles a day. But the thing is,
where was this, here in Accra?
Yeah, in Kumasi, Modern International.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But the thing is, that one city I didn't spend it. I used to starve a lot because one day I bought 5 pokies, which was 20 pesos then, for my friends. And they were very happy. But my friends, I always made sure that they followed me. So that was my investment in them. I did things that made them pay attention to me, made them listen to me, made them follow my instruction, made them follow my command. But at the same time, I was a servant to them. I was a slave to them. So I think that's where I acquired my leadership skills. Now, what I want to tell you is that you're asking me, how do I have relationship with all of these people? These people are not just having relationship with me because I'm Cheddar, or because I'm Nana Kwame Bediako, or because I have this or I have that. They have this relationship with me because they see a higher level of leadership in me. There might be stars, but there's a big difference in the stars and the moon.
For example, in Naomi Campbell or Floyd Mayweather, who may have never heard of you or not met you before, how do you walk up to such a person and say, hey, I'm Freedom Jacob Caesar?
I don't, probably. Andy, it's just like how you been liking me. You probably said that if you ever find me one-on-one, you have some questions for me and all of that. So you see, before you meet me or before you even see me, you probably had some plans. But that's because there must have been some things that I've done or you heard about me that has caught your attention. So you're paying attention. But then when you meet me and we speak, and then you resonate, you relate, and you connect, that synergy is powerful. Nothing breaks it. I think that's what is happening. So I'm not seeing Floyd Mayweather as, oh, he's a legend, so he's... No, I'm not starstruck. I respect Floyd Mayweather. I respect Naomi Campbell. But I expect them to respect me the same way that this young man had something that we don't even see in our industries. And I think that's exactly what is happening. But, you know, I think there are more people that I'm yet to, you know, bring to surprise Ghanaians, you know, from Trump to Elon Musk. And I'll show Ghanaians that I'm well connected. Like, you know, my network is bigger than my net worth.
Is that going to happen when you become president?
Well, before, after, it doesn't matter. For me, being a president also doesn't put me in any special zone. It's still, life goes on. It's still responsibilities have to be taken, and it's still accountabilities. I need to just make sure that the old life I live is not rejected, is not neglected, but it's just exponentially expanded. It becomes bigger because the responsibilities become more.
I'm going to invite my elders to come in. There are lots of messages for you on social media. Speaking of social media, are you active?
I don't know whether to say I'm active or not, because you know, I don't follow anyone on my social media platforms.
Really?
You know, yeah, like my Instagram is zero and I've never followed. In fact, Naomi Campbell took my phone and followed her one time and I unfollowed her again. But she still follows me. I mean, she's my friend and my...
Why do you choose not to follow anyone?
That's how I felt like before I got on there. I was never going to get on there. But when I was getting on there, I said, you know what? I'll come and feed people with what I think at when and whenever I think. If you want to take it, if you don't want to leave it, that's all. I just didn't want to follow anyone and to be able to respond to their posts and their questions and their comments, because I'm busy, you know, and my time, it's one thing I don't play with. So all I wanted to is give to the world, but not to exchange with the world on social media.
Yeah,
that's the reason.
Because I think... Okay, could that be the reason a lot of people feel like, he's not a people's person, he wouldn't follow you, he wouldn't even mind you when you see him out and you extend a hand or you try to get closer to him?
Oh, no.
Could that be the reason?
No, I'm very, very, very open. I love people, from disabled people to able people, rich people, poor people, small, big, fat, slim, all people I love. The thing is, people don't know me. People don't see me. They act like they do, but they don't. Because I wake up 5:30 or 6 in the morning, and I use an hour to praise and pray.
Really?
Then I use 30 minutes to run. That's how I build my energy. Then I go straight to work, and it's back to back, and back to back, back to back to 8. So I don't have the time to be anywhere. If you ever see me somewhere, you have to appreciate that, because really, I'll come to you. You don't have to come to me. If you want to greet me, I'll greet you. I'll shake your hands, even if you're the devil. I have no fear. I have no worries. I just think that when you become a topic, people around you become the gossips. And you're never going to get them with one mouth. Everybody will be saying what they like and all of that. But I don't think I'm here to respond to people's folly. You know, I think you don't need to rebuke also a foolish person if they decide to judge you before they even meet you. And that, for me, is like prejudgmental and non-settlement. It's people like that. I don't think they're too intelligent for me to associate with. I feel like I might have something for them later that could change them by proving to them that however they try to see me, I could never be that person. In fact, they're looking at themselves, whatever they were thinking.
When you see someone, what's that one thing that you're attracted to and make you approach the person? Is it by their name, by their achievements? Oh, you're Andy Dusty. Hi, what's up? How you doing? I've heard a lot about you. You are this, you are that. Okay, my name is Nana Kwambili Aku. Now let's talk.
No, I just think that it's their warmness. You know, when people have screwed faces, they are angry, all of that. And I don't want to, I know you're angry. I don't want to be involved with your anger. But when you're in a good mood, and I'll smile back if you smile at me. If you wave, I'll wave back. It costs me nothing. It costs me 0% to congratulate people, to thank people, or to appreciate people. It's not a hard work to do, right, Andy?
Mm.
It's very simple. So I never get worried. I just think that a lot of people say things when they don't know me. But it's good. For me, I'm probably one of the best marketers that Ghana and Africa will ever find, but they don't know that about me. You know, I know how to market myself very well. And I learned from one of the greatest marketers of all time in this world, Jesus Christ. You know, he came to market God. And by the time he died and left, everyone believed in God. So he did the job perfectly. And I learned from him. You know, he created his 12 disciples. There is 12 months. There is 12 of everything. Okay? And he kind of didn't have the money. But with the marketing strategy, he put the 12 pillars in the right places, the 12 stories in the right places, the 12 o'clock, the age, the time, the belief, the miracles, the knowledge, and the words. He kind of combined it together. I think that's what I concentrate on doing, you know, making sure that whatever you say about me, you're not going to get enough of me. You will keep hearing. and it's been going on since I was probably 11 years old. They're still talking. You know, I remember when I was 16 and I invented cheddar, meaning money. You know, I came to Ghana and when I was 24, it was going. 28, it was going. When I hit 30, I changed everything. I said, I'm going to be Freedom Jacob Caesar. Now, I started building. By the time I was 40 years old, almost everybody wanted to know, who is this Prince of Africa, Freedom Jacob Caesar? You know, it's just about letting the people talk. You know, because if they don't, that means you don't exist.
Right, right. You are not on social media yet. There seem to be some scandals that came around you. How do you manage those? For example, the animals or the zoo effect. Recently, there was something that came up, which we all saw that it was fake. You know, I think you came out to refute that.
Yeah.
There was an AI generated. Sorry, I saw that on social media. I felt disgusted anyway when I saw it. How do you manage all of these scandals when they are thrown at you?
Well, I mean, it's not crime to own tigers, but it's also...
Well, where are they anyway?
They're in the zoo now. It's also beyond achievement to own tigers. You see, the story of my tigers is Kunta and Kinte. If Ghanaians could take their time and really study what this young man is doing, I am sending them a great message. They should stop looking at the messenger. They should concentrate on the message. Kunta and Kinte were two tigers who were supposed to belong to the forest, but I took them from Dubai and South Africa and brought them into Africa, a place where the Asian man said that tigers will never survive. In East Africa, in West Africa, and North Africa, they only allow the appendix of the Forestry Commission, that is only South Africa that has full climatic control of weather, would have tigers. So I asked myself the question, this Chinese man, how dare you? You don't have any gold in China. But my gold survives in China. It doesn't run back to Africa. But you are telling me that your tigers will not survive in Africa. So I brought the two of them that I have kidnapped them from the forest and told them the story of the black people, Kunta Kinte, how you took our people to America and other places and they multiplied. Today we have Jamaica and everything. So that's the same thing. I have created a tigers that live with the human domestically. They can hear, they listen, they sit, they eat, they even play football.
Those and tigers?
Yes, and they're going to breed. And I'm going to prove to the world that no, you're wrong. That's one. Two, I knew that would open the tourism sector of this country, and we will become the first country in West Africa, East Africa, and North Africa that have bred tigers and owned tigers. Thirdly, I wanted to build a zoo as part of my portfolio. See, I've built a museum, I've built in commercial, residential, industrial. Now I was on my national project. And I knew at the same time, Kunta and Kinte was going to give me that uprising spirit, you know, to go into building a zoo. And all of these things are being fulfilled. So there were the radio, there were the presenters, the media, everybody was talking, you know, they can talk whatever, whatsoever. What I do is I have a total concentration, Andy. It's the perfect method. I'm just going, doing exactly what I envision. I know that Ghana is going to benefit from that later.